Thursday night, I don't really know. Right off the shoot, we're already in technical difficulties. I don't know if it's the if it's them or me. It's probably me. I'm new at this. But welcome to Thursday night, 10 p.m., Full Guard Fight Radio. Let me get my partner here. Hang on one second, see if I can figure this one out.
Everybody needs to start their own fire.
Matthew, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing this week?
I'm good, bud. I am good.
Yeah, man.
I struggled right off the shoot there. Did you catch that?
Yeah, it's all good, man. It's all good. Your intro music was so good that after it was about finished playing, you wanted to do it all over again. There's no problem with that.
I didn't even play it the second time. It just started, like, it said it was done, then it was, like, still into the middle, so I don't know.
Maybe it's destiny, bro. I mean, I was driving up A1A Avenue this last weekend, so maybe we just had to play that song second time again and to get the show rolling properly. But
A1A is an interesting road over there. I used to live right off it. It's a pretty interesting area, isn't it?
Stretches all the way. Yeah, it pretty much covers most of all. You can get anywhere in South Florida on A1A for the most part. It's beautiful, man. Love it out there on the beach. I was out there through the weekend, you know, for Fight Time 13. Spent my birthday weekend out there as well. But
Fight Time 13, man. Tell me what you do for the birthday. Let's talk
for the
a little
birthday,
bit about
I
what you guys do.
I led up to my birthday with Fight Time 13. We drove out there early Friday. Went to the fights, amazing fights, phenomenal fights. They always put on great fights. They have a great promotion out there, Howard Davis Jr. and Fight Time Promotion. So did that, got back from that just a little after midnight. My girlfriend had surprised me with a real delicious late-night dinner there at the hotel. We slept in on Saturday. Then Saturday we drove up to West Palm Beach, and we just relaxed. We had some fun, went out and got some drinks that night, and just had a real good time, real relaxing weekend. Came back Sunday, went out with a bunch of friends Sunday night at Buffalo Wild Wings. So it was a real laid-back weekend with lots of chicken wings and lots of beer.
What did you just say? I was going to comment on something, but did you hang out on the beach down at Fort Lauderdale anywhere? Did you go any of the clubs?
We did up in West Palm Beach. No clubs or nothing. When we got to West Palm Beach, we did West Palm Beach on Saturday, and when we went there, we went out on the beach for a little while, a little in the evening time. It was about 5 o'clock or so. We went out to the beach and just sat out there for a few minutes, watched the water, enjoyed the weather, and that's about it. You know, we drove around some real nice areas out there. It's a beautiful – South Florida is beautiful. The East Coast is amazing. You know, leaving over here on the Gulf Coast of Florida, it's kind of a bum, man. We got crappy beaches and not a lot that's beautiful over here, but when you get a chance to go over to that part of Florida down there in the Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach, Boca Raton areas, man, it's just beautiful. What's amazing about Florida, and it's down there in that South Florida area. It's definitely not here where we are.
I used to live over there. This is years ago, but I got myself in a little trouble over there, so not the legal trouble. I was 21 years old working at a bar, you know. So it was very easy for me to do. But it is gorgeous over there. So what's going on, man? What's new this weekend? What do we got going on tonight?
Oh man, tonight's gonna be a little bit different. You know, usually we have pretty structured interviews set up, and we know what we're doing. What we're doing tonight, we're gonna go a little unorthodox. We're gonna be a little laid back, first and foremost, a little relaxed. But there's a big fight card tomorrow night here in Newport Richey. It's the American Battle Championships and Gator MMA fight card at the All Sports Arena. And decided, you know, instead of booking some interviews this week, you know, I literally just walked in the door from the weigh-ins. I've been here for about, I had enough time to jump in a 5-minute shower and then sit down to get ready to go for the show tonight. Just came from the weigh-ins, so talked with a bunch of the fighters there tonight. We're going to be interviewing some of them real quick, 5-10-minute interviews max, just kind of talking with them. You know, I personally don't want to take much of their time, and I told this to each one of them. I don't want to get in their heads. I don't want to cause any interruptions in their game plans and in their preparation. You know, they just got out of weigh-ins the night before the fight, so you know, I asked each one of them respectfully, hey, you know, you got 5 minutes to just talk with us on the, you know, the best radio show in the world with MMA, and they said, you know, absolutely, we'll get on, just going to talk about their fights and talk with them real quick about what, you know, how they're feeling and what their game, and not really what their game plan is. You know, I don't ever want to spill a fighter's game plan, but basically going to just ask each one of them what can their opponent expect from them in the cage tomorrow night. So it's going to be a great night, man. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Should we, I know they got a fight tomorrow. Should we not talk about what's going on in their head, or should we just, you know what I mean? Because I would be like, I don't want to talk about anything but just beer and chicken wings. That's what I like to do. So.
Well, I know a bunch of them were antsy. The weigh-ins were started at 7, and a bunch of them, some of the guys were real antsy to get those weigh-ins. They wanted to get them done and over with.
I can imagine.
Eat some food. And, but for the most part, most everybody weighed in tonight. Most everybody was on point and ready to go. We got a few people going to be weighing in tomorrow morning. But
was there some people that missed weight?
Nobody really missed weight. There's a few people off a couple pounds, but they got it taken care of. And anybody who was off by any means, they give about a 5-pound allowance. There are 3 title fights going down tomorrow night, or at least 2 or 3 title fights going down tomorrow night. I know at least 2. On title fights, they have to be within like a pound of each other, even though it's amateur. But amateur rules do allow within a 5-pound allowance for a regular fight. So originally about 14 or 15 fights scheduled. That's changed a little bit. There will be a finalized fight card tomorrow afternoon, evening. I will have that up at MMAMadhouse.com. And on Facebook, we'll have that fight card up and ready to go. But it's amateur MMA, so these, you know, fight cards change all the way up until the fight starts. So what I can promise you is there's going to be some exciting fights tomorrow night. Some big time names in the area stepping in the cage. The main event is going to be ridiculous. It's Randy Hernandez out of ATT Cape Coral, and Michael D'Angelo out of D'Angelo Mixed Martial Arts. And there's some animosity between these guys. I don't know the backstory. Maybe we can have a little bit of that backstory.
Yeah, maybe we'll find out the backstory.
There, I know that between these two gyms and between these two fighters, there's some blood boiling. So that's going down for the lightweight title tomorrow, the American Battle Championships lightweight title. So that's the main event. We're gonna be we should have both of those guys on the lines with us later this evening, and it should be awesome, man. It should be a good night. We're gonna close the night out with Daniel Blevins, the owner of Gator MMA, a guy who's been very pivotal and putting his fight card together. Talk with him for a little bit. Just, you know, it's going to be a good night. You know, I think that the first and foremost, what's going to set this card apart from other amateur MMA cards in the area, not to say it's going to be the best card in the area, but they're doing something a little different tomorrow night. All first responders, teachers, you know, police officers, paramedics, firefighters, teachers, pretty much local area heroes, they're getting in the fights for free. So I don't know anybody else that does that, but
that's good stuff,
you know, right there. It's going to be a good night. Dwayne Spires, you know, co-owner of the World Class Fight League, he will be ring announcing for this event tomorrow night. So with all the hats that he wears, and we've talked with him and about those hats, but with all those hats that he wears, his ring announcing is one that he takes very professionally, very dignified, and he's great at it. So it's going to be exciting, man. You know, the All Sports Arena, it's a large arena. It's going to pack a lot of people in there. They play host to hockey almost every night of the week. You know, they've got like a indoor hockey league in there, but they could literally, the name, I mean, this is a cheesy way to say it, but just as the name says, man, any and every sport they can host there. It's just awesome. Football would be a little tough because it's indoors and it's hard, but they could figure it out. It's a great arena. Matt Gary, the owner, is a wonderful guy here in the area, and it's going to be huge, man. It's going to be a great night of fights. I'm excited.
We got kind of a big weekend in fights. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff going on. You know, last week was a big weekend in fights too for us. MMA Madhouse did a bunch of stuff last weekend too. So, man, I was talking to Carl and the guys, you know, up at the penthouse of MMA Madhouse, and they were telling me that you know, we should be moving past, obviously they're Canadian-based, and we should be moving past the first and second MMA websites, you know, by the end of the year, so, or in a few months, I guess, actually. So, I mean, it's just big things with MMA Madhouse. So, I mean, we're covering all, you know, events all over the country, so.
Yeah, man, you know what I'm excited about? I'm excited about the fact Carl telling me a couple days ago. It seems very likely that you and I would be covering Bellator 94 together. So,
yeah,
I'm psyched about that. As soon, you know, I was looking at the Bellator schedule, I saw that they were going to be back here. I was like, wow, man, they're coming back already. And you know, we got good, you know, we got a good relationship with Bellator. You know, we give them we have a good relationship with a lot of promotions. You know, MMA Madhouse really does a good job, and I'm looking forward to being out there, man. We've both experienced Bellator. From experiencing them and experiencing other promotions, I know how awesome they are, so I'll be excited to do that. Real quick, before we get into any interviews and the night gets away from us, always want to give a shout-out to our sponsors and say thank you for all that they do to us, You know, BrawlBase.com, CrossroaderClothing.com, GameChanger Clothing, which I believe is GameChangerNow.com, GatorMMA.com, check them out on Facebook as well, GatorMMA, and FutureFighters.com, big time, you know, thank you very much. You know, I won't say any numbers, but we set a Full Guard Fight Radio record last week with listeners, and that's a big thanks to FutureFighters.com and Barbara Garnett and Bryce Fishinghawk and all that they're doing for the future of the sport. So big thanks to those guys, and big thanks to all our sponsors. We do appreciate all that you guys are doing for this show here, and I mean,
absolutely.
We probably wouldn't be here without them. So,
yeah, you know, it's funny.
Well,
it's funny. Just a couple guys just talking MMA, and you know, just pushing the brand and pushing the, you know, the MMA Madhouse brand and local MMA. And you know, we've really kind of seen a what's the word I'm looking for? Really kind of seen a upswing, I guess, in you know, support for our show. And I really want to say thank you. To you, to MMA Madhouse, and everybody that sponsors us and makes it possible. So I enjoy doing it on Thursday nights. I look forward to doing it. Gives me a break from my everyday life and you know, the stress that's going on there with work and whatnot. But it's a good time, and I appreciate everybody that believes in us. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, before we jump into, you know, talking to some of these fighters, you know, and we've got a 7 or 8 different fighters we're going to try and get on the phone with us tonight. You know, just For anybody listening, be understanding, as we will here, you know, Jason and I will both be understanding that it is the night of their weigh-ins. They got fights tomorrow. It's a small possibility, but it's possible we may not get a hold of everyone we're trying to call. We should. I've talked to each one of them. But, you know, if we're not able to get a hold of them, or if we're only talking to them for a few minutes, it's simply because their mindset is focused right now, and I know neither me or Jason want to get in the way of what they've got going on. So, you know, We do appreciate and have much respect for all the guys who have agreed to come and talk with us for a few minutes tonight, and just wish them all luck, and we'll be understanding if we're not able to get a hold of some of them, or if maybe they're just not too talkative. You know, they're really focusing in the zone right now. I was around them all tonight as they were doing their weigh-ins, and you can just tell, man, they're focused. They're in the zone. So we should have a good night, should have an easy-flowing night, real laid back, but with all that said, before we even jump into all those interviews, man, I feel like we kind of have to address the UFC cuts. It's kind of a big deal. 17 guys or so cut already, and from what Dana's saying, about another 100 guys have to go. So first and foremost, the one that bothers me, and I posted this on Facebook, it really irks me that John Fitch got cut, and I know that he's got this bad kind of like persona lately as a boring fighter. He's a wrestler, so people do think, you know, he's a lay and pray guy, somebody who just doesn't put on good fights, but, you know, I think that couldn't be farther from the truth. You know, in his time with UFC, he was 14-3-1, which, you know, those three losses, what were to GSP, Johnny Hendricks, Damian Maya, and then the draw is BJ Penn. So you're talking, the three guys he lost to are the welterweight champion, the number one contender, and one of the best BJJ practitioners in the world. So, with that aside, 14 big fights in that time with the UFC, I just don't get it. You know, I don't know what your feelings are on that. I'll go ahead and I'll just stop talking and let you go. But to me, that's just not right.
I've never been a Fitch fan, and then I think it was the Eric Silva fight that really kind of won me over with him, and I watched him just really his submission defense and things. I mean, that's just world class. But I don't agree with a lot of. I don't. First of all, I don't agree with the way Dana. Some of the guys were cut. Dana, Ariel Helwani posted it on Twitter, and Dana hadn't even spoken to the guys yet. So a lot of them found out through Twitter, and not even their boss's Twitter. That's kind of chump to me. But
low class.
Yeah, but with Fitch being cut, I respect the UFC, the 14-3-1. I'm struggling here. I'm kind of stammering over my words, but my point is very simple, that he fought for a title. I mean, the guy's never had a title in his entire life. He fought for a title, and he was a number one. So he was a number one contender, and he dropped to two. Then he dropped to like six, and then he was down to nine. So I mean, he's kind of on the backside of his career. I get it. I understand that he's 14-3-1. He's put in a lot of work. He's won, umpteen fight of the night or of the night honors, I guess. Guy's 34 years old, seems a little bit young. I just think, he's making big money, and no one really wants to watch John Fitch sell a pay-per-view. I mean, I would never, ever buy a pay-per-view with John Fitch is the main draw. And even if he was the co-main. So, I mean, what is he going to be at the end of the main card or on the prelims? And that's a lot of money to pay. I get it. I understand why people are angry. I understand why people feel that he got cheated. But, I mean, the long and short of it, the UFC is a business. The UFC is run like a business. Dana's looking to make money. And if you're paying a guy that kind of cash, that kind of scratch, and he's fighting on a card where you can get away with some of these younger guys coming out of, like, the Tough House and whatnot, then I think it was warranted. But just on an emotional aspect, I think John Fitch being cut is kind of bullshit, because, I mean, the guy's done so much. Maybe he takes a pay cut and he stays. That wasn't an offer, or that wasn't an option. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of right down the middle of it. I'm a fan of his now. I really went back and watched a lot of his fights, and that Eric Silva fight really, I mean, Eric Silva, it was fight of the night, but who's Eric Silva beat? That was Eric Silva's first real fight. So, I don't know. I'm just so, like, right down the middle of it. I understand why it was done, but, I mean, Fitch, I think he won me over because his post-fight interview was all about his family and how the money was going to be used for his family, and how he appreciates his wife and his kids. And so, knowing that the guy's going to go home and not have, he's out of a job right now. I mean, he's going to find work, but, I don't ever want to see anybody lose their job. So that's where I stand.
I get it. Like, I do get why it was done. They've got, far too many fighters on their roster in order to be able to book fighters, and I get all that. But that's something that kind of goes along with my feelings about how they handle fighters and how they handle money and stuff, and that it's wrong. It's crap. They need to think about that stuff when they're shutting down promotions and taking over all their fighters, and they're shutting down Pride, they shut out WEC, They pretty much shut down Elite XC and Affliction. They shut down Strikeforce most recently. The more and more they are killing other MMA promotions, they're going to have this where they're going to be picking up fighters, because each one of these promotions have big-time fighters that the reason the UFC are shutting them down is, A, they don't want them to be competition. B, they want fighters on their roster. So when they consider that, they've got to think this out, and to say Dana's got they're going to be cutting another 100 fighters, Dana's pretty much hinted at the fact that if Uriah Faber doesn't win on Saturday, he's out. Now, Uriah is not a guy I'm a fan of. I think Uriah is kind of a boring fighter, but Uriah is a guy who many people are fans of, who's a name in this sport at that weight. When that weight wasn't really notable, people weren't really paying attention to the small weight guys. Uriah Faber was making waves, And It's just it's unfortunate.
Well, sorry, but I didn't mean to cut. I thought you were finished. Go ahead and finish.
No, I was just going to say it's unfortunate that it's got to happen, but I understand. I do understand why it's happening. My problem was just kind of John Fish being cut, and I'll probably have other problems, you know, depending, you know, you're talking about 100 fighters they're going to cut. There's going to be some names in there that bother me too, I'm sure, but I just think that it could be handled better if the UFC knew how to handle fighters.
I respect that. And, you know, with all these guys coming in and you know, the new breed of fighters, you know, there's so many more signings and so many, I mean, cuts. I mean, it is a sport. It is, you know, I mean, you got to liken it to baseball and football. And, you know, I mean, Dana was defending his position pretty well. And he made a good point. I didn't think of it this way. You know, he was saying that he was getting drilled by everybody on, like, Twitter and Facebook and whatever, you know, getting called all these names. But, you know, Charles Woodson, a Hall of Famer, was just cut by the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, a lot of, you know, big names in the NFL get cut. And, you know, nobody's ever in uproar about that. But I guess because these guys are, you know, you can see their faces and you can kind of feel for their stories and things like that. And, you know, I respect it. I really do. And I respect your position. I just think I understand where Dana's coming from, and it's all about money. And he does a great job at making money. So the one thing that really kind of pissed me off if we're on Dana and how he treats people like crap is how we treated Randy Couture, with Ryan Couture and that whole thing. I mean, the guy made the UFC without Randy Couture. I think it just is an absolute farce, and I Dana should be ashamed of himself. And, you know, I get it, you're Dana White, and, you know, nobody messes with you, but, I mean, you owe that guy something. You owe him, you know, a debt of gratitude and whatnot. So I just think, you know, it goes, again, to show how much of not a people person Dana White is. And, you know, I mean, it is what it is. The guy makes just a boatload of money, and he's able to do it because people want to be in the UFC. You know, we're talking about it here on a Thursday night in Southwest Florida. And, you know, he doesn't even know who we are, but, you know, we know, you know, everybody knows that the UFC is MMA. You know, you ask any Joe Schmo on the street and tell me a little bit about MMA. Well, it's the UFC. Well, you know, so he's done a great job. He's a marketing genius. And, you know, you either kind of beckon to him or you're out the door. So that's kind of where I stand on that.
Speaking of the UFC, and you're absolutely right that if you ask the average MMA fan, hey, you watch MMA? Like, yeah, man, I love the UFC, dude. You know, I'm like, well, I said, do you watch MMA? UFC, yeah, it's part of MMA, but, you know, a lot of people don't realize, they think that they have to wait till the UFC's on a Saturday night to see MMA. They don't realize that. It's all around you. I mean, I'm watching Bellator. I'm sitting here co-hosting this MMA radio show with you while I'm watching Bellator. Tomorrow night I'm going to be at a fight. While I'm at that fight, I'm going to be trying to pay attention to XSC 22 in the process, as well as Saturday, doing whatever I'm doing Saturday, working it around the fact that I don't want to miss UFC 157. So it's like, it's all around you. You know, it's everywhere you look, and some people don't realize it, and it's a shame, but the reason that it's all around you and it's everywhere is because of the UFC. So, like you said, you know, Dana White is an absolute genius. I think he looks like the bad guy because he's got to make tough decisions, and I get that. But in order to keep the number one MMA promotion in the world in that number one spot and to keep doing what he's doing, what he's been doing for, you know, 10, 15 years now or whatever, he's got to sometimes make these decisions that are going to piss people off. You know, they're going to upset certain people. But because of what the UFC has done, John Fitch will find a job. You know, Marty Oshenko will find a job. These guys will find jobs because they're good fighters. You know, some of them have had, Marty Oshenko hasn't been great lately. He's had, I think, a few losses in a row. These last few fights, Fitch hasn't been great. There's no doubt about that, but Fitch has been very good for a long time, been consistent, just had a couple of bad fights lately, but it sucks. You know, it bothers me that Fitch was cut, but at the same time, I get it. I understand that you've got to do what you've got to do to keep your business going. You know, it's just one of those things that I do think, though, that, you know, certain things could be handled better, but however they get handled, I guess they've, you know, it's just one of those things that's got to be handled. So it's unfortunate, but these guys will find jobs because there's promotions everywhere. And Bellator is Bellator is just rapidly getting bigger and bigger.
Absolutely. And to be honest with you, the MFC, they put on a great show the other night, too. So, I mean, there is work everywhere. And two real quick points. I remember what I was going to say a little bit ago when you were talking about Uriah Faber. Whatever that kid touches turns to gold. You know, he had that form, athletics, clothing line, and K-Swiss bought it. And when he had it, it was making money. K-Swiss buys it, it goes on. Now he's got Torque. They're making a fortune. You know, he's with Amped Energy or whatever it is. The kid just he's like Rob Dyrdek to me. Everything Rob Dyrdek touches turns to gold, too. So Faber is going to have no issue finding a job in another promotion and then just making money hand over fist regardless. And my other point, just real quick, I'm going through the roster, actually, of fighters, and he fought the other night. James Tahuna. Now, I got to say, I'm proud of myself with this. I was watching the fight. He has no nickname. Should his nickname not be The Big? James The Big Tahuna. Wouldn't that be great? I'm sorry. I know it's super lame, but I just had
to. Oh, that's good. I did actually get back to my hotel room just in time to watch the main event of MFC 36, so I was excited about that. It was a sick fight.
I'm friends with the African assassin, Mukai Maromo, I was talking to him up until, you know, before he went in for the fight and stuff, and I was like, man, you know, you got to see, his Muay Thai is just incredible. He's one of the best strikers in the world, and he just did not, you know, after the fight, he said, I just didn't follow my game plan. He did not. I mean, he gassed, and he just looked, you know, he looked terrible, and, you know, he'll be back, and it was a great fight. It was not the Mukai that I've grown to love, but he'll be back. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind. We're gonna get him. We'll get him on here one of these days. He's a good dude. He's funny, man. I'll let him come on and tell you the story about his junk. So,
yeah, this is a big weekend too. You know, we've got Bellator's live right now, obviously, but tomorrow night XFC 22. Is live from North Carolina. It's going to be a really awesome fight card. The XFC puts on amazing fights. I believe I'm looking at the fight card here. Yeah, I mean, they've got Pearl Gonzalez, Susie Montero's on that fight card. Jason Hicks and Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman is the main event there. Ricky Rainey, a guy we've talked to, had fun with him that one night. He's fighting there in the co-main event. If I could talk, that'd be great. Co-main event against Joseph Cornaroli, so that'd be a good fight. They always put on great fight cards, so that's another good one. And then, of course, you know, Saturday night, UFC 157. History's going to be made. You know, there's no other way to say it. It's going to be a very historic night, and I can't wait. I'm excited to see that. I wish that it was a fight for the vacant women's bantamweight title, because the title shouldn't have been handed to her, but
agreed.
One way or another, the title is on the line, and I'm kind of smelling upset. I don't know. I just kind of feel like, you know, every great fighter is going to have a loss, and you know, Jones's loss is coming. It's going to happen, but in the meantime, that's going to be a great fight tomorrow night. Big time card, stacked main card. Ronda Rousey, Liz Carmouche in the main event for the women's bantamweight title. The co-main event, Lyoto Machida, Dan Henderson. I think that's just going to be a sick fight. Court McGee versus Josh Neers on that card. Josh Koscheck, Robbie Lawler, that's a good one. Uriah Faber versus Ivan Minivar. It's going to be a good one. Even on the prelim card, you got Brendan Schaub, LeVar Johnson. So it's going to be a real good night. And I think we got ringing here. We're calling live on the air.
Hello.
Nate.
Hello. Yeah.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. How you feeling, man? Weigh-ins went good tonight. How you feeling about your fight tomorrow night? I think we lost him. We'll try and get him back here. In the meantime, yeah, we lost him there. We had him, but we lost him. We'll get him back here. But yeah, man, if you're looking for some MMA this weekend, it's all over the place. Don't forget, you know, don't think that UFC is all there is. You know, XFC 22 is going to be on tomorrow night on Access TV. Bellator is live right now. You know, there's already a few good fights. Ben Saunders had a great head kick knockout, and it's going to be a great weekend of MMA. You know, if you're in the Newport Richey area, check out the American Bachelor Championships Gator MMA fight card at the All Sports Arena, located right in the center of Port Richey, Florida. And it's going to be a great night of fights. We're going to be trying to get Nate back here. That was Nate Snyder, local fighter to the area here. It's going to be his second amateur fight, but kind of his MMA.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, Matt. I just want to apologize. Blog Talk is really slow this evening, so I apologize. I was listening to this as I was calling. I couldn't get the ringing off the air because it's just taking so long. So I just apologize to you. But Nate is ready to go.
Good, man.
So yeah, Nate is ready. I just talked to him off air. He's excited. He got some food in his belly, and you know, so he said he's carb loading, so he's ready to go. So whenever you're ready to talk to Nate, we'll go with him.
All right, man. Nate, if you're there, we'll go ahead and jump in with you, man. How you doing?
Good.
How you feeling,
not
dude?
Not doing too bad. I'm feeling a lot better since I got to get some steak and potatoes in my stomach and some beer.
I had some wings and some beer myself. I didn't have to weigh in, so I got those right away. But
that was a little.
No, man, I know that you know. I know if you win tomorrow night, it's pretty much going to be because of me. not to take 100% of the credit, I'll just take 85% of the credit. But you know, Nate's so you know, Jason, Nate, the gym hours, you know, the Gator's open primarily in the evenings, and I've been kind of jumping up there a few days over the last couple of weeks in the mornings for Nate and for some people that aren't available always in the evening. So getting a little bit of work in with him. So if he wins tomorrow night, I'm kind of expecting like a, you know, this is all because of MMA Madhouse. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Full Guard Fight Radio, you know. That's probably
just,
all in my head. That probably won't even happen. But
yeah, just the self-gloss. Just the self-gloss, I see.
Yeah, pretty much, man. Pretty much. I mean, you know, keeping it real quick with the fighters tonight, because I don't want to take up much of you guys' time, but, I mean, what can your opponent expect from you? You're facing, I'm drawing a blank of his name right now. I've got it right in front of me. Cole Torrent. You're facing Cole Torrent. You know, it's his debut. You've got one fight under your belt, so, you know, you're 0-1. But most importantly, and I know that 0-1 came with a lot of deceiving, you know, there wasn't much you could do about it. But the biggest thing about that one fight, win or loss, you've been in the cage already and you know how it feels. For him, he's got this debut. He's got a little bit more weight to carry because he hasn't done this before, so... do you think that's going to be a benefit, or what are you thinking as far as the fact that you've already got your debut out of the way, so you kind of know what to expect, and you've got those butterflies long behind you? So, kind of, you know, what are you expecting tomorrow?
Well, the butterflies, I don't think will never ever leave. You know, it's not like you're going onto a baseball field and stepping onto a pitcher's diamond and getting ready to throw a baseball. You're going to go fight somebody. You know, you're going to get punched and kicked and slammed around, and so I don't think the butterflies are ever going to ever, you know, just leave. You know. Once that door, you know, shuts, you know, maybe you get a little more sense of a calmness. But usually, walking up into that cage, I don't think there's ever gonna not be butterflies. You know, and sometimes that opening debut, you know, that first round, you know, usually looks like it goes in the debuter's favor. I mean, when I fought Neil, you know, he wasn't a scrub, but you know, round one, you know, I landed a lot of punches, and it was just adrenaline. So. You know, I may be facing a younger kid with a massive amount of adrenaline and be, you know, trying to shell throw off a lot of punches.
Yeah.
Hey Nate, do you try to weather that storm, or do you just let him kind of punch and kick himself out, or do you if your game plan is to be aggressive, do you kind of go back at him aggressively?
I'm looking to go in aggressive. I mean, that's just what it is. I like to stand and bang. So I think it's more exciting for the fans to watch a stand and bang ordeal versus, you know, a lay and pray ordeal. I feel like they're not going to get their money's worth if, you know, him and I kind of roll around the ground, you know, for 9 minutes. I don't see where there's a lot of fun in that, and you know, it's not what I'm going to train for. I don't go to train to go to the ground. So.
Yeah, I've never been in the cage, so my next fight is going to be my first fight. But tell me, do you when you're in a fight, do you look to finish? I think you just answered this for me, but I'm just going to ask it. Do you you want to put on the best show for the fans? So you go in there looking for a finish, or do you kind of when you go in and you kind of break down somebody and you know you have them beat, you kind of work on some things and you know, because game time is much more quicker than.
I don't want to go in there and demoralize an opponent. You know, if the opponent's beaten, yeah, I'd rather just finish it. I don't want to sit there and toy with them and play with them because, you know, this is one of those sports where, you know, after you're done fighting somebody, you get to hug them. You know, you get to maintain a brotherhood. To demoralize my opponent while I'm in there, it's just, that wouldn't be the way that I would go. You know, if the door opens to finish the fight, I want to finish it.
Fair enough.
Hey, you know, real quick, we'll go ahead and let you get out of here in a minute, but I do want to talk shortly about some other stuff you're doing, which is something that we will be certainly having you back on the show in the coming weeks, you and your partner, to talk about in full detail. But real quick, you know, Nate, outside of the cage, is involved in a lot more. You know, he's recently bought out a local bar here in the area and planning on doing some big things with it that are MMA related, as well as keeping the bar, you know, the bar business too. But Nate's actually going to be like the co-promoter, co-owner of the Raw War Fighting Championships, which is going to be an amateur promotion here in the Tampa area. And just talk quickly about that and what you got going on so far.
Well, I've seen a lot of promotions that rise and a lot of promotions that die, and a lot of promotions that I disagree with how it's going or how things were working. So, you know, I was talking to, a guy I had met down in South Florida who was explaining to me his business, been doing it for 6 years, and seemed to have his head on straight. But along with these fights comes a gigantic financial responsibility, which a lot of the promoters, they just don't have. You know, it's not like it costs, you know, $100 to put on these events. The insurance for these events are expensive. The movement of the cage is expensive. You know, the fighter's insurance is expensive. Venues are expensive. And I think that these fighters, you know, they put 80-plus hours a week in these gyms. They deserve a chance to play in a pro atmosphere. So that's what I want to bring out. You know, it's not, you know, the ability to be a good fighter, but how to handle, you know, a media sense and how to act like an athlete. So, I mean, you could be a phenomenal fighter and not be something that somebody else could look up to. And, you know, I feel like that's what a lot of these fighters need to see as well. They need to be able to handle pro atmosphere before they jump into the actual pro ordeal. So that's what I want this promotion to actually hand off, is that pro atmosphere. You know, it's going to be streamed live. You know, and I'm hoping within the year or the end of the year to have worked out a deal with a couple of local TV stations to have one or two fights a year aired.
And you have already...
You know, I'm sorry, guys.
No, I was going to say you've also been talking with GoFight Live, GFL.TV, as far as having those fights broadcasted there as well, correct?
Yeah. All the fights will be broadcast on GoFight Live. And some point next week... I haven't confirmed a date yet, but we will be speaking to the local TV station.
Right on, man. All right, man. Well, I appreciate your time. I know that, you know, you want to get some rest and stuff. Got a big fight tomorrow night. I'll be looking forward to it, man. Have a good night. Sleep well. And we'll see you tomorrow night, dude.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, best of luck to you, bud.
All right.
All right, man. Yeah, so, I mean, like he was saying, you know,
Well, I'm not sure what happened with Matt. I'm not sure if he got booted or if we're having issues with Blog Talk again. But as Nate was saying, you know, getting you know, he was excited to get some food in his stomach. I can't imagine that weight cut that, you know, I wrestled in high school. Let's not call it wrestling. But that weight cut, just I can't believe that would be something that you would be excited about or be looking forward to doing. You go in there and you need to drop 20 or 30 pounds, and you know, you got to just, you know, starve yourself and whatnot. And then the day of the weigh-ins, you just go and gorge yourself. So beer and chicken wings, I can always do beer and chicken wings. But, having to cut that weight and whatnot. So I'm glad they got some food in the stomach. Matt, you there? I'm not sure if you can hear me. I'm not sure
I'm back, man. I don't know what the hell happened. Was in the middle of talking and just the phone just cut off. It's slightly frustrating, but
it was the same time that Nate hung up. So I'm hoping that whatever. So I hope there's not an issue.
Yeah.
I hope we run smooth. So
yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if any of this. I don't know if what I was saying before I got cut off was on the radio or if you were even hearing me. But I was basically just saying, you know, he's got a lot going on with the Raw War FC and what he's doing. They've already got a full schedule lined up for their events over the next year on their website, rawwarfc.com, and should be exciting. He's a very, very smart guy. He's got this very well thought out and very well organized, so should make for some very good fights here in the Tampa Bay area, and should be a good place for you know, there's never enough MMA promotions. As long as those MMA promotions are helping the sport grow, you're going to have times where promotions don't get along. Obviously, UFC, Bellator, when you get to that magnitude, when you're that famous and when you're that well-known, that's going to happen. But as on the smaller front, on the local scene, promotions need to work together. Promotions need to help the sport grow. Talk with each promotion. Don't step on their dates. You know, find out when they're going to put on a fight. Case in point, Daniel Blevins at Gator MMA, you know, he's been putting together this event with the ABC that's going to be going live tomorrow night. They've talked with Dwayne Spires, Ralph Garcia from the World Class Fight League. They're trying to work together to help co-promote events. At the same time, they're making sure they don't step on each other's dates. You're not scheduling a fight the same night as these other guys going to have a fight because that's going to damage the sport. Helping the sport grow, you talk to these guys. You can still be competitive promotions, but you can talk to each other, say, hey, I'm having a fight this weekend. Okay, I'll have a fight the next weekend, so you can help cross-promote and help the sport grow, and that's ultimately what's most important here, and that's what's going to keep us having kids growing up and wanting to be MMA fighters. That's going to keep having promotions prop it up. Like, right now we've got a fighter in the queue. He's a 12-year-old kid. He's going to be ready to fight tomorrow night. I don't know how the law's letting him fight, but he's got enough hair on his face that people think he's growing up, but really, they call him Dean Little Green Mean Machina. So I know he's listening to me. That's why I'm talking trash about him. Dean, how you doing, dude?
I'm pretty good, man. How about you?
I'm pretty good, man. How you feeling, bro?
Good, good. Just had some chicken marsala, so got my appetite back for a little bit. So that's kind of good.
Pretty good, man. So yeah. People know, if people have watched you, they know that you're a jits expert. You know your stuff on the ground. It's close to impossible to tap you on the ground. I don't want to say impossible. I don't want you to get tapped out tomorrow and then look right at me and tell me it was my fault because I jinxed you. But
you just did. There it is. Done, man.
Over. Maybe if you would have bought me a few more beers on my birthday, you would have we could be getting along right now. But no,
you always want more and more, man. What do I got to do?
I got to be honest. I don't even know where some of those beers were coming from. They just kept showing up in front of me, and I was like, fine, whatever, I'll drink them. As long as I'm not getting a bill at the end of the night. But
that's all you got to do. You don't ask questions. You just drink.
That's basically what I did before I knew it. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I hadn't remembered what was going on, and all I knew was I had to be at work at like 7 a.m. It was a fun night, and lucky for me, it was an okay morning. So
yeah, there you go.
But
all that matters.
All that aside, man. I mean, what's your opponent going to expect from you tomorrow? You know, your opponent's a real, real tough, real good young guy, and
yeah.
You guys are in the co-main event for the title fight. Your 135 title fight there for the ABC. You know, his opponent is Daniel. I think it's pronounced Mikkel or Daniel Michael.
Mikkel, I think, yeah.
Yeah, Mikkel, there you go. I mean, what can he expect from you? What's your mindset going into the fight?
I mean, rock solid attitude going in there. That I'm gonna swing with the punches no matter what he's going to come at me with. I've seen some of his tapes a little bit here and there, you know. I mean, I had another opponent up until about 4 days ago, so I had no idea until about 3 days ago that I had this guy as a fighter, so I haven't really been able to specifically train for his style. But what I'm mainly doing is I'm going to stick to my guns, knowing that I can control the ground as much as I possibly can, and then always keeping my stand-up intact and not losing character on my feet, making sure that I can control the fight no matter where I'm at, in any position, and anywhere in the cage.
Right on, man.
Yeah. What are you thinking about it? You think it's going to be a good fight?
I think you need to go in there and you need to throw some punches, man. I want to see Dean throw some haymakers before he taps his opponent out. I mean, we all know what's coming. We all know how good you are on the ground. I want to see Dean go in and throw some bombs. That's what I want to see.
All right. Well, you want it and you shall see it. I've been working on my hands a lot last week. So
I want to see Dean throw some bombs and then Dean pound some beers. That's what I'm wanting to see tomorrow.
Yeah. Yes. You got yourself a deal.
I don't know if my co-host here wants to jump in, if he's got anything to ask him or.
Absolutely.
I just was listening, and so you got, I got, before you came on the air, I was talking about, before I lost Matt, I was talking about cutting weight. You said you need some chicken marsala. Explain to me your mindset going into cutting weight. When do you start dropping your poundage? When do you start really getting on your
This would be a good
let
answer.
Me just say.
Jason, this is going to be, you're not going to, I'll just let him go. I'll put it this way. Dean doesn't cut weight, but okay.
This is like a phenomenon to me that I can't wrap my head around. I don't understand it. So I need to tell me what you're doing.
Okay. So it depends on where I'm going, because I had my set fight going at 125 up until about Sunday. Sunday afternoon was when I heard that I wasn't fighting at 125. I didn't even know if I had a fight scheduled. So up to that point, I was maintaining. I was keeping myself at about 138, right about there, and I was gonna do one of my 3 day cuts, where I start my fasting about 3 days out, keep my water intake to a minimum. And then about 2 days out, I drop most of my food except for a breakfast or one pickup during the day, so I can keep my metabolism going with minimum water. And then after about, depending on where I'm at, hard workouts on days, both of those previous days, probably about, I don't know, about 18 miles total in those last 3 days. Multiple
18 miles running? 18
yeah.
miles?
Yeah, road work.
I don't drive 18 miles.
Yeah, it's about 3, 4, 5 hours of running, depending on how I'm feeling, how my weight is. But about 18 miles is usually what about takes for a 125 cut for about the 3 days. I mean, but for this fight, to be honest with you, I was pretty much up to 138 up until last night, and I cut the 6 pounds, kept it off today. It was pretty, I mean, a simple cut for me.
You know, Jason, the reason I started laughing and jumped in there is most guys' weight cut is a big deal. Most guys, you know, it's a big mindset, and it takes a lot for these guys to cut these weight. But this little punk pretty much cutting weight, he just wakes up and the weight's gone. He doesn't have much of a weight cut, and he's always like, I love cutting weight. It's no problem at all. And then he shows up to weigh in with about 5 pounds of pasta and shrimp and all kinds of stuff, so. I just laugh because with most fighters, you'd have probably got like a really deep story, because cutting weight is a big deal and it's not for the faint of heart. But little Dean here, he just cuts it like it's nothing and laughs at the people who go through a hard time with it. So
yeah.
I think I just cut about 7 pounds off him telling me he's running 18 miles in a couple of days. That's ridiculous. I was sitting talking MMA all day long, but matter of fact, I have a Bud Light sitting in front of me right now. I mean, it's preposterous. If I have to give up the stuff I love to do something else, I love, I don't know if I love that thing enough. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's all about prioritizing. How much do you love compartmentizing, prioritizing what you love and how much you love it. I mean, that's pretty much everything in life boils down to those two simple points. And I mean, depending on what you want to do and how hard you want to do it, I mean, when I set my mind to something, it's going to be done. I mean, that's the way that I think. I'm not going to go. I have two speeds: sit down or sweat my ass off. Oops. So I mean, that's how I think about things. I'm either going to slow down and control what I'm doing, or I'm going to go as hard as I can until I can't go anymore. And that's just how I am. And I mean, that's when it comes to cutting weight and all that. It's the same thing. I'm gonna sit on my butt as long as I can, and then when it comes down to it, I'm just gonna kill myself until I get it off, and I'm gonna do whatever it takes.
Man, I don't know. I think I gotta go have some chicken wings or something for you. I don't know why I took that.
I did. I had a nice big thing of delicious chicken wings and a couple of Yinglings while I was sitting around watching these guys starving to death while they were waiting to weigh in.
Yeah, good for you.
I've had enough of you already, so we're going to go ahead and let you go. No, man, you know that I'll be cheering you from Cage Side tomorrow. I'm a big fan. I get the pleasure of training with you. That is when you decide to come into the gym. You know, but when you do come in, I do enjoy getting to train and learn from you, man. I'm excited to watch you fight tomorrow. I'm excited to you know, I have to pretend to be impartial as a member of press, but I can't wait to watch you hold up that title belt. So,
yeah, buddy.
Get a good night of rest, man, and I'll see you tomorrow. All right, dude.
I appreciate it, man. You gentlemen have a great night. Appreciate everything that you guys have done, everything for the Florida amateur sport and for me as well.
Awesome.
All right, man.
Good luck. Good luck to you, Dean. Best of luck, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, man.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good one.
You too, Dean. Yeah, I mean, it's cool. You know, obviously, you know, I joke with him and mess with him. I consider him a friend. He's a good dude, a hell of a young fighter, and his jits is phenomenal. So I'm looking forward to watching him fight tomorrow night. He's fighting a guy who's got, you know, pretty legit. You know, I don't know much about him. He fights out of ATT. I know that much. He's 2-1. You know, him and Dean have the same record. Dean's 2-1-1, but he's 2-1. I know he's a deaf fighter, so he's kind of, you know, I've seen him compared to Matt Hamill a little bit, but it's gonna be a good fight. I mean, Dean's they call him Ex Machina for a reason, so it's gonna be a good night tomorrow night. Real quick, while we're in between interviews, let's give shout outs to our sponsors: BrawlBase.com, CrossRoaderClothing.com, GameChangerNow.com, GatorMMA.com, FutureFighters.com. I like giving shout-outs to GFL.TV, Go Fight Live. They do some great things. And MMAMadhouse.com, of course. Thank you. So we're just going to kind of keep it rolling here. I think my partner is about to get the next guy ready. This next guy, actually, while Jason's getting him ready to go, I do got to say, this next guy, Otis Arango, it's going to be his MMA debut tomorrow night. With that said, this guy, he's just phenomenal. He's a certified catch wrestler. He's been doing this stuff a long time. He knows this stuff. His ground game is just sick. If this fight goes to the ground tomorrow, it's going to be a quick one. It's not gonna last long with on the ground with Otis. He's a very soft spoken, very respectful guy. I love messing around, joking with him, but at the same time, I do my best to be at the gym when he's there so I have time to roll with him and learn from him because of how knowledgeable he is, and it's just awesome. So this is my most anticipated MMA debut of 2013. I absolutely cannot wait to watch Otis get in the cage tomorrow night and to do some work. So with that said, we do have Otis ready to go. Are you believing, Bobby?
Ha, I believe every day, Bobby.
Otis Arango, man. Like I was just saying, dude, I am so psyched to see this. You know, I know this is something you've been thinking about for a long time and just made the decision, less than 2 weeks ago that this was going to be your debut. You're going to get in the cage and do it tomorrow night. Now, with that said, you know, you've done a lot of training. You've been thinking about it for a long time, anticipating and trying to really make the right choice on when you would make your debut. Why did you feel like this was going to be the night for your debut?
Well, I've been going to the gym for 2 years, and what better way to come out than Gator's debut, you know?
Right on, man. Right on. Now, are you your ground game is no doubt in the level of your abilities on the ground. Now, are you looking to take this fight to the ground right away, or are you looking to kind of stand and brawl and when he gives you that opportunity, just take him down and finish it?
I mean, I guess I'll have to adapt to his style, whatever he brings to the table. I'll just have to make my adjustments and fight from there.
Now, I mean,
goal is to finish the fight, but, yeah.
Face crank. I want them to. Well, I want to see a neck crank, man. Just from personal.
I think that's
illegal. From being put it, it should be illegal in practice too, man. I couldn't turn my head for like 3 days. It's like my second Jason. It's like my second or third day in the gym, and they're like, hey, roll with Coach Otis for a little bit. And I'm thinking, all right, you know, tall, lanky guy, really quiet, you know, nothing to worry about. Next thing I know, I'm in this neck crank that's just the pain of all pains, the most pain I've ever felt. I was just like, wow. You know, I was like, I think I'll watch this guy from a distance from now on.
That's a good idea.
But, no, I mean, you know, what can your fighter expect from you? You know, what, you know, this is a debut for both of you guys. You know, what I know you're going to bring it, and I know that he should be ready to bring it as well. But, you know, plain and simple, you're looking to finish the fight early, right? You're not. There's no decision
in your
mind. Yeah, of
course.
I mean, you want to finish the fight.
You always never know anything can happen in the fight, so I got to be ready for anything. I'd like to finish it early, but if not, I'm really ready to go to distance. So.
And now you're going to be playing double duty tomorrow night because you got your own fight, but you're also going to be coaching and getting Jeremy Christensen ready for his too.
That's right. Bring that
guys,
W home,
you know,
finally.
Bring a couple W's home.
Yes, sir.
For anybody who's not aware, you know, Otis's brother, David, Sam, and Jeremy Christensen, they're kind of our late-night crew at Gator MMA for anybody that can't get in during regular hours. We do have guys up there helping you out to train late. So, you know, what's it been like to not only be getting ready for your own fight, but helping a brother, a teammate there get ready for his own fight? I mean, that's got to be like, it's got to feel good, but at the same time, it's got to be like, you know, I don't want to say double the pressure, but like, it's just one of those things that I don't know where I'm going with this. Is his fight as important to you as your fight? Is it kind of one of those things where you're like, even though you're going to be on the outside of the cage, you're like in there with him, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything, of course, has pressure in it, you know? But, I mean, we're doing, you know, we're just having fun with it. So, I mean, if he wins, we win. You know, if not, it's not. Whatever the cards draw up. But, I mean, either way, we're going to make sure it's an exciting fight.
All right, man. Yeah, I mean, I'm just psyched, man. I'm like a kid in a candy shop right now. I'm just so psyched that you're stepping in the cage and you're fighting tomorrow night. I think it's gonna be a great night. I think it's gonna be a great night of fights in general. We got a lot of teammates going in and fighting tomorrow night, so it's gonna be one of those things where
it's gonna be a great night.
You know, you got a fight. You got your own fight. You know, I'm gonna have stuff I gotta be doing, but at the same time, these are guys we go and train with every day. You know. Team Gator MMA is just it's like a family. So, you know, each one of us are when we got guys stepping in the cage, you know, we're there with them, you know, our heart's just like, man, we want to watch our guys come out of there with W's. I want to see Dean coming out of there with a title, you know, Z,
sir.
Curtis, all these guys, Jeremy, you,
Alex,
it's just
Alex,
a,
too.
Alex, yeah, Alex, I know they're a little, they were looking for an opponent for him, but I know he's ready to go. He made his weight and he'll be on standby tomorrow. You know, with amateur MMA, you always got last-minute changes and things that change here or there. But I know they were being real hopeful about finding Alex an opponent, Julian, that is. So be excited, man. I don't want to keep you long. I know it's late. You're focused. You're ready to go, man. I do appreciate you taking a few minutes with us tonight, Otis. And, I mean, anything you want to say before we let you go?
Oh, yeah. A shout-out to my boys over at Westgate Apartments in Jacksonville. Oh, yeah, my wife.
Right on, man.
All right,
and the significant other.
Oh, yeah, that too.
and my wife. That might have been my perfect statement of the night.
Quick case, she's right in front of me, guys.
She's right in front of you and you said, oh, yeah, and my wife.
Yeah.
I think you're grabbing a pillow and sheet on the couch tonight there, Bobby.
Well, I'm going to have to, Bobby. That fight night,
right, man.
That big energy, hey?
Otis, you have a good night, bro. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll be excited. I'll be jumping up and screaming when you come out of there with a W, so.
Thanks, buddy.
Have a good night,
dude. Later.
All right, man. Yeah, man, I can't say enough, Jason, how excited I am for Otis making his debut. Just some sick ground game, just absolutely amazing ground game. And his stand-up, he's a quick fighter, so it should be a good night tomorrow for him. I really hope to see him get a W. But
Did you call him coach?
Coach Otis, yes, I did.
So he's a coach over at
Gator? At Gator, yes, he is. He's our certified catch wrestling coach.
Right.
Pretty much when it comes to the ground game, he's one of our best guys, one of the top guys we look at, and the guys that we go to for guidance, for teaching. He is absolutely one of our coaches. He's one of the longest tenured guys at Gator as well. You know, when Daniel first started Gator a couple years back, I know that Otis was one of the first students, first people at the gym there. So he's been there a long time, been doing this a long time, and he felt ready to go, and I'm glad he did, because I do believe he is more than ready to go. So it's going to be a good night, man. Give me a good night for Otis. But, yeah, man, it's just crazy. You know, these fighters, you know, they got so much, you know, you can see Otis not the most talkative guy on a normal basis, but they're just focused. They're ready to go. He's a funny dude, you know. I'm just excited, man. I can't talk enough about it. Anyways, man, if you're listening in with us tonight, we appreciate it. You know, we do this week after week, and we just we love what we do here at MMA Madhouse and at Full Guard Fright Radio. You know, we got I'm watching Bellator in the background doing my show here. King Mo is walking out right now. Get ready for his fight with Emmanuel Newton, the co-main event there at Bellator. Good, some good fights so far. So far you had Douglas Lima defeat Brian Baker with a KO punch. Mikhail Zayats, I'm going to probably say that wrong, defeated Jacob No with a submission armbar. I know Ben Saunders on the prelim card defeated Raul Amaya with a KO head kick just a little bit into the first round. So I saw Ben Saunders fight at Bellator 72, and he had a quick, vicious knockout there too. So Ben Saunders is a beast. And that dude is a hell of a fighter, so somebody exciting to watch. But we just jumped off the phone with Otis, and we were talking a little bit about Jeremy Christensen, and we're going to go right in with Jeremy now. Jeremy actually debuted at the World Class Fight League back in January, where he lost a close decision, very close decision. And, you know, I told him then, and still today, I think it was a great debut for him, because, you know, to go out in your debut – to look as confident and comfortable as he did, to not be finished, you know, even if you walk away with a loss, I think you kind of won something there. And, you know, Jeremy's getting into his second fight tomorrow night, and, you know, we'll bring him in. Jeremy, how you doing, bro?
Good, man. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, man. Glad that you take a couple minutes with us tonight. You know, we're trying to talk with a bunch of people tonight just for a few minutes each, because we know the fighters are got their mindsets, they're focused, and just kind of ready to go. So, I mean, how are you feeling about your fight tomorrow night, Jeremy?
I'm feeling really confident, man. I'm feeling really good. I was able to train real hard this time. Didn't have to cut any weight, so I'm just ready tomorrow, man.
Right on, man. Now, I asked Nate Snyder this at the beginning of the show, and I'll ask you too, but seeing as you've already got that debut under your belt, do you feel like you have a little bit of an advantage over your opponent, Martin Levinson, because kind of like the first time, you know, if you've never stepped in the cage to fight, you don't know how it feels. I have no idea how it feels because I've never stepped in the cage to fight, and I don't think that I've got the guts to do that. And it takes a warrior to get into a locked cage and fight another human being. So do you think that you've got a little bit of an advantage over Martin because you've already stepped in there and fought one time?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because the nerves are going to be there for him regardless. It doesn't matter who you are. You get in there for that first time, you're going to be so nervous. And you just don't know how to prepare for what's going to happen until you get yourself in there. So the fact that I already know that feeling and know what to go through, it's going to definitely be an advantage for me.
And how you, what's your, what's your mindset on Otis's fight? How are you feeling for Otis?
Oh, I'm excited to see it. I know he's ready, and I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to help him out. You know, I think I'm going to be in his corner. He's going to be cornering me again, so just looking forward to that one.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what can your opponent expect from you tomorrow night?
You can expect a lot of stand-up. You know, I'm going to put my hands on him as much as I can and just try to go to war, put on a show for everybody.
Right on, man.
Hey, Jeremy, I'm sorry. Jeremy,
go ahead, man.
Is that the discipline that you enjoy most, is the stand-up game, or are you more of a grown technician, or?
Well, I really like the stand-up. I think it's a lot more exciting, and it's a whole different feeling when you put your hands on somebody's face, and, you know, in the jiu-jitsu realm of it and everything.
Do you feel like if, now I don't want to give too much away here, I know some of the guys are listening, but do you feel like if you go to the ground, you still have an advantage, or is that like a weaker aspect for you?
No, actually, my ground game is pretty strong. When I first started training, I started training in just jiu-jitsu, so I have that background behind me, but I really enjoy stand-up more, and I try to keep a stamina as much as I can.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, I can't imagine I would want to go to the ground too much either, but I was just, you know, curious. Do you want to finish the fight right away? I mean, is that something you look forward to, is just finishing immediately, or is that not... it doesn't really matter how and when you finish the fight, or I guess what I'm asking is, what kind of game plan are we looking at? Are you looking to go to be aggressive, or kind of feel it out and see where your opponent's coming from?
I'm gonna feel it out, see where he's coming, you know, see if he's coming aggressive or what. And if he's coming really aggressive, then I'm gonna just let him do that. And once he's done coming aggressive, then it's gonna be my turn to be aggressive. So I can pretty much just feel it out, see how it goes. If he starts off slow, then I'm gonna start aggressive. So.
Right on, man. Well, I mean, like I said before, we really only want to keep it to the fighters tonight for a few minutes. So before we let you go, is there any shout outs you want to give, anybody you want to say thanks to?
Yeah, I'd like to, of course, thank Otis. I'd like to thank Ladarius and Sam and TJ and Fritz, everybody who's been coming out and helping out at night, helping me get ready. I definitely want to thank my family and my girlfriend for putting up with me working all the time and then training all the time. So, you know, they don't get to see me that much. So I really want to give a big shout out to them for standing by my side through all this.
Right on, man. Well, listen, Jeremy, man, have a good night, dude. Try and get some rest. You know, I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what it is that goes through a fighter's head the night before a fight, or if the fighters really are able to get much rest, but, you know, I know that you're going to go out there and take care of war tomorrow, so try and get some rest, take it easy, man, and I'll see you tomorrow evening.
All right, man, thank you. I'll see you tomorrow, buddy.
All right, man, take it easy.
All right, you too.
Yeah, man, it's just, you know, I've said this a couple of times, and it takes a lot to step in a cage and fight somebody, you know, and mixed martial arts is a beautiful sport, and it's come a long way in the last, like, 10, 15 years, and it's just awesome to keep seeing the progression of the sport and seeing so many guys want to try it out and get in there, and just to see the warrior spirits in these guys. It's awesome. And getting to go into a gym every day and train with some of these guys, a lot of these guys we're talking to, it's a cool feeling. It's a great experience. And with that, we're going to jump right in. We're just going to keep rolling here. We got Mr. Zenon K-Bar Herrera ready to go with us. So how you doing, Z?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
Pretty good, dude. Did you go home and get some food in your stomach?
Oh, you better believe it. That was like the biggest thing. Like, as soon as weigh-in was done, I'm going around asking my coach, can I go home and eat yet? Can I eat?
Man, so this is now you've got a kickboxing record on top of your MMA record. This is going to be, what, your second or third MMA fight?
This will be my second MMA fight, but this will actually be my fifth time going into the cage.
That's right, because you had about two or three kickboxing fights as well. So, how are you feeling about the fight tomorrow night?
I'm excited. I was actually supposed to fight this guy, Kevin Harris, about 2 months ago, and his blood work was kind of sketchy. But he's got it all fixed now, and we're ready to go.
Hey, Zenith, I just want to ask you real quick before we get moving on to something else. What do you mean when it's sketchy? Tell me a little bit about that. How does it become sketchy? And two-part question. And does that make you nervous when your opponent's blood work is a little off?
Well, we had asked the same thing, and it turns out that what had happened was wherever it was that originally did his blood work, they didn't take a good enough sample. So his hepatitis results came back as questionable. And then, of course, you know, the sanctioning body said, well, if his results are questionable, we're definitely not going to let him fight because, you know, if he gets cut or anything like that, you know, who knows where that could lead.
Right.
But he's gone back. He's got his blood work fixed, and he's excited. I'm excited. And like I said, it's 3 months in the making, so we're finally gonna go and bang.
Nice. Well, I mean, what can he expect from you? You know, I don't want to ask necessarily your game plan. I don't want you to kind of give out what you're planning on doing, but what can the fighter expect from you in the cage tomorrow night?
Well, the biggest thing that he can expect from me is just that no matter where we go, whether it stays standing or if it goes to the ground, I'm going to be going at him 100%. Over at Gator MMA where I train, we train a lot on going to the ground. We train a lot with grappling. But at the same time, we've also got some high-caliber striking coaches, which helps us get our striking techniques down. So no matter where the fight is, I know I can go comfortably and confidently and sustain myself and even press the pace if I want. So all this guy has to look forward to really is no matter where this fight goes, he's not going to have the upper hand. And I'm just going to keep coming.
Oh, man. That's awesome, dude. Now, as you said, you know, we do train a lot on grappling at Gator, but we do have some big time guys that come in and help us, help the fighters. I'd say us. I tend to when the serious training goes on for the fighters, I tend to kind of hang back and watch. But I mean, where do you feel more confident? You feel more confident on the ground or standing up?
Well, my base is wrestling, so I mean, for me, if I can get a person on the ground and get on top of them, I feel 100% in control. And there's no doubt that if I can get into the position that I want to be in, the fight's going to go where I want it to go. So I definitely prefer to be on the ground.
Right on. Well, man, I don't know if Jason, you've got anything else you want to ask him.
I did. Yeah, I just wanted to ask, you said you like to be on the ground the most. What's your favorite submission that, I don't know, you know, be on the ground? Do you look for, when you get on the ground, is it immediately to go for the armbar if that's your favorite, or is it just kind of, you know, take what he gives you?
Well, I'd have to say my favorite submission would be whatever works, because, and the reason why I say that is a lot of people will say, well, my favorite is the guillotine choke. Well, what if the guillotine choke isn't there? Are you going to force it?
Sure.
Are you going to try to force a guillotine and then get yourself in a bad position, or are you going to pace yourself, go for something? If it doesn't work, know that you're going to be able to move on to something else. My favorite thing to do is just work them, absolutely work them. I'm a wrestler. I want to grind this person to the ground, force my will upon him until finally he breaks, and when that happens, a submission is going to be there, whether it be an armbar, a kimura, a choke, whatever he wants to give me.
Can you tell when your opponent, you said something, it's very telling, you said until he breaks, do you know exactly that moment when your opponent has broken?
An opponent's broken when you can look into their eyes and you can just see that they're looking at you and they know that no matter what it is they try to do, it's not going to work. If I've got somebody in side control, and I'm perfectly balanced, and I'm just beating on their body or working their legs, and they finally give me this look of, oh, dear God, you know, whatever I do, this person is not going to stop hurting me. That's when I know that their will for at least that round is gone, probably even for the rest of the fight. And from there, it's just a matter of time.
Just one more follow-up question. Do you guys ever talk in there, like does anybody ever say, dude, you're beating my ass, or you know, or anything like that? Is there any, like, camaraderie kind of stuff back and forth, or is it just strictly business?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, when you're building up for the fight or even at the weigh-in, I was talking with my opponent, Kevin, you know, hey, you know, let's go out there and let's put on a good show. I mean, I would say he and I are probably going to be fairly good acquaintances, but at the same time, once that bell rings or once they blow that horn, whatever the case may be, you know, for the next 9 minutes, I don't like him.
Yeah.
He's in my way of trying to get a title fight, and he's in my way of trying to turn pro. And, you know, after it's done, heck, you know, he could be my best friend in the world, but for those 9 minutes, I don't like him.
Yeah.
my sole thing is go in, get it done as quickly as possible, get my hand raised, go home and drink a beer.
Right on, man. Listen, Z, man, thanks for taking some time with us tonight, man. Like I've been telling everybody, dude, get some rest and relax and have a good night, bro. I'll be looking forward to seeing you tomorrow and seeing you walk out of there with a win, dude.
I look forward to seeing you there. I look forward to putting on a good show for you guys.
All right, Z, good luck,
man.
All right, thanks a lot. Have a good night.
You too, Z. All right, before we're going to be getting ready, jumping in. We should be getting Curtis Mighty Mouse Bird on the phone here in the next couple minutes, and then we're going to be talking with the guys in the main event for tomorrow night. In the meantime, I would like to say how pissed I am with Bright House right now. My Bright House TV decided to freeze up during that Emmanuel Newton King Mo fight, so I did miss the Emmanuel Newton knockout spinning back fist KO of King Mo. I would have liked to see that, as I am not a big fan of King Mo. So Bright House, I do appreciate you robbing me the opportunity of watching that tonight. So thank you very much for stealing some great live MMA from me there for a few minutes. So with that said, though, Bellator's been sick tonight, man. Submission, an armbar, a KO punch, a spinning back fist on the main card so far. Up next, Rad Martinez, a guy I watched a special on a few years back. I saw him on a ESPN like segment or something like that, on like one of those Sunday conversations or Sunday things that they were did, and they actually gave MMA some coverage there for a while. You know, this guy had an interesting past, interesting story, and it should be. I'm looking forward to seeing him fight, man. Right, he's 14-2 as a professional, and should be a good night. It should be a good fight. So, I would like go ahead.
I'm sorry, man. I don't know what you were talking about. I missed a little bit of it, but I wonder. You know, Zenon or Z, as you guys call him. You know, that was really kind of telling. I think that's going to be my new line of questioning when I get, you know, these guys on here, is to talk to them about, like, that breaking point. I want to know more about that, I think, the psychological aspect of it. And, like, just being able to know, you know, I've played sports in my day, but just being able to know when you're beating somebody, you know. But just to know when, like he said, there's nothing that I can do that will make this guy stop hurting me. And, you know, I knew, you know, I was a catcher. I played baseball all my life, and I was a catcher. And I knew just some players couldn't hit a curveball or, you know, a fastball high and tight. I knew that stuff. But, I mean, I wasn't getting punched in the face repeatedly. You know, I wasn't getting hurt.
Yeah.
So that's just crazy. So.
Yeah, I mean, Z's a very calm and collected guy. He's a Marine. He's got a big military background. He's a very strong guy, very deceptively strong, because he just seems so well-mannered, so calm and collected, but he's a beast of a fighter, and he's going to bring it tomorrow night, that's for sure. Like he said, he's fighting a guy named Kevin Harrison. They were supposed to fight back in December, and you know, the blood work just didn't come through, and the fight didn't happen, but it's going to be good tomorrow night. It's going to be really good, so. That's one of the many exciting fights. You know, like I said, looking at probably 12 to 15 fights, somewhere in that time frame. I'm sorry, somewhere in that number. It is amateur MMA, like I said all along, and, you know, things change on a moment's notice. But it's going to be a lot of exciting fights tomorrow night leading up to the main event between Randy Hernandez and Michael D'Angelo. So, Gonna be a good night, man. We'll be talking with them here shortly. I think we're actually going to we're having some trouble getting hold of Curtis Burt. He did leave before I got the chance to talk to him tonight, but I didn't get any chance to go over with him real quick, but if we don't get on with him, we'll have him on again here in the future. We talk with him a couple times, and he's somebody I get to train with too. So we do want to say, we're very grateful for every one of these fighters that come on here and talk with us tonight. And we know that there's a lot going on in their minds right now. They're getting ready for a fight tomorrow night. So real quick, I just want to say thanks to BrawlBase.com, CrossroadsOfCoding.com, GameChangerNow.com, GatorMMA.com, and FutureFighters.com. Thank you for all that you guys are doing for us and for the sport. We do appreciate it. We appreciate, coming on here every Thursday and talking MMA for a couple hours. So it's a pretty sweet gig, I was out at Fight Time 13 in Fort Lauderdale this last weekend, where I saw many amazing fights. Saw Wagner Rocha, the lightweight champ for Fight Time, in the cage, coming out with a very, very decisive, unanimous decision. Saw some great finishes. 4 out of the 6 first fights were rear naked choke victories. Got to meet Jessica Aguilar of Bellator. Actually looking forward to watching her fight live here in a couple weeks. So it's gonna be great, man. We're gonna be getting in here real shortly with a couple of the guys in the main event, Randy Hernandez and Michael D'Angelo. And with that, I do want to say, XSC 22 tomorrow night on Axis TV. And Bellator is getting ready to wrap up here shortly. UFC 157 this weekend. Lots of big stuff going on. We talked a little bit earlier about the UFC card and about just kind of what the UFC's got going on, having to cut some fighters and pretty much just do business. Business isn't always fun. It doesn't always make friends, but it is what it is, and it's got to happen, unfortunately. I do want to say, check out No Pain, Just Glory. You can find a link right to their website on MMAMadhouse.com. They're going out of business. They're friends of ours at MMA Madhouse, and you can get some great gear at some real cheap prices. So check them out, No Pain, Just Glory. Get some sweet gear at some sweet prices before they go out of business. But yeah, man, if you got just want to say thanks again to Bryce Fishinghawk and Barbara Garnett. Last week, we had some great feedback from our second kids episode, which was a great night. We had a lot of fun there with a bunch of future fighters, future stars, and we'll be doing that again, down the road, talking with some more kids, teaming up with future fighters, because full believers in what they're doing for the future of the sport. And I know I'm just psyched, man. I myself, talking about all these fighters being focused for this fight tomorrow night, I myself am just kind of like, stuttering, skipping words here. I'm just focused, and I got a lot of teammates stepping in the cage tomorrow night, and I'm just really focused on what they're doing. And, right now we're going to jump in with one of the guys in the main event tomorrow night. He's going to be fighting for the 155 ABC lightweight title. It's Michael D'Angelo. Michael, how you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing tonight?
Pretty good, man. Thanks for taking a few minutes and talking with us. I know you got a lot going on in your mind. You're probably wanting to get some rest and get ready for your fight, man. The weigh-ins went great tonight. Both you and Randy were on weight. Everything went smoothly. How you feeling about your fight tomorrow?
I'm feeling pretty good, man. I've been on a pretty long training camp, and it's going to be a pretty good fight, man. I'm in shape. He looks like he's in pretty good shape, so he always brings it to fight, and so do I, so it should be some fireworks, man.
Right on, man. Now this, I don't know much of the backstory. I'm not sure what it comes from, but there is, if I'm not mistaken, there's some animosity, some bad blood between the two camps over at ATT, Gabe Coral and D'Angelo Mixed Martial Arts. Is that correct?
Yeah, man, just us being competitive gyms in the same town, it just kind of comes with the territory,
Yeah. Now, I mean, what are you looking to do in the cage tomorrow night? You looking to finish him? What's the game plan? What's your mindset going on stepping in the cage with Randy tomorrow?
Well, basically, I mean, I don't really train for any specific fighter. I mean, I train always to fight and be ready for anything and everything to come at me. I mean, hence, that's why we're doing MMA. So anything he's looking to give me, that's what I'm looking to take, man.
Right on.
Hey, Mark, what's your favorite discipline? Are you, I mean, do you enjoy one more than the other? I know you said you don't train one more than the other, but you know, do you enjoy, you know, one as opposed to the others?
No, I love it all, man. I'm a true mixed martial artist. I've been doing it since the age of 4. BJJ, judo, wrestling, boxing, kickboxing, you name it, I do it, man. So I love them all equally. They're all fun. Like I said, wherever it's looking to go is where I'll take it, man.
How did you get involved with mixed martial arts at the age of 4?
Well, first it started off with my dad, being that he has 5 sons. He obviously had to get us into some of the preoccupied time. So we used to wrestle around. My dad was a pretty good wrestler in high school. He was undefeated all through high school, 2-time state champion. So started showing us some wrestling, and I had the privilege of training with Gracie Grandmaster Mansoor out on Long Island. That's where most of his schools are. That's where my dad got us into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu there, and just snowballed after that, and just we were just looking for more things to do, man.
Cool. That's crazy. So you go from wrestling. What was the next one? The next, I know you got a fight coming up tomorrow, and I want to talk to you about that too. But I'm just interested about this because at 4, I just wonder, you know, you go from wrestling to what next? Was it more like BJJ stuff, or did you get into the boxing? When did you start picking up the?
Yeah, it was BJJ. I did just strict Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu from the age of 4 all the way up until maybe about 10 and a half, 11. And then that's where my dad, we actually found, there's actually another world champion. His name is Derek Panza, 3-time super heavyweight champion of the world, undefeated, retired with his respective belts in his weight class, and just got us into that. I was actually my dad's partner. They ran a couple of gyms on Long Island, some pretty major gyms, for about 6 years together. So, like I said, man, I'm a gym baby. I grew up in a gym. That's what I love to do, is either go to school, do your homework, straight to the gym all the way to 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, and then right to bed right after that, man.
Fair enough.
What's for people that may not be familiar with D'Angelo Mixed Martial Arts, what are you guys about? I mean, how long have you guys been established down there in Cape Coral?
Well, Cape Coral, we've been established there for about 2.5 years now. Basically, like I said, we teach a full scale of MMA. We don't just have just a BJJ belt rank system. We actually have our own fighting style system that my dad's been developing himself for about over 25 years now, with some pretty good world champions together with him as well. So basically, we just instill that. Our main thing is we like to teach kids a lot. My dad has over 400 kid students in his career of teaching. He's retired now. He's just kind of like my partner in crime here, just helping me out with the business end of things. But we like to teach kids a lot and help get their moms in shape with some fitness classes and stuff like that. So that's what it's all about.
Hey, Mike, where are you guys over here in Cape Coral?
We're located right on Pine Island. That's right behind the New York Tattoo. That's right on Pine Island Road in Cape Coral.
I know right where you're at, man. Yep.
Yeah, and then I also have another gym in Fort Myers as well.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I have 2 sons. Well, one's 5 months and the other one's 6 years old, and I want to get them in some stuff. So you'll be hearing from me, and like we talked off air, I'd definitely like to get it. So let me just ask you a real quick question. Did you have to cut much weight for the fight?
No, I usually don't have to cut too much weight for the fight. Like, I walk around probably maybe about 163, 165, around that range. And I usually cut about 10 pounds. I usually wait till like the last week to cut those pounds. It's usually all water weight, so it's not too much of a cut for me.
And one more question. We were just talking to Zen and another guy in the card tomorrow, and he was telling me that there's a point where you can tell when you're in the cage that you've absolutely broken your opponent, and nothing that they do is going to get you to stop hurting them. Do you know that exact point? And you know, what happens after that point for you? Is that when you look to finish the fight or what? Because this is kind of just a phenomenal thing to me. I've never been in the cage, so. You know,
yeah, what he was probably telling you, that sounds to me like he was just, that's just him being in the zone and just knowing what to do at the right times. Pretty much, I mean, when I'm in there, I don't stop until either the ref's pulling me off or the ref's stopping me. So, I mean, I go all out, and I try to stay calm and stay focused, because that's when the best things happen to you, when you're nice and calm and focused. Like I said, I like to let my instincts take over and just let my skills do what they do and do what I'm always trained to do. You know, I'll always have a successful training camp and always be ready and trained to do what I have to do when I get to the cage.
Yeah, I, fair enough. Like I said, this weight cut thing, and then this other thing is interesting to me. Is this the first title that you're fighting for tomorrow?
No, I actually hold two 155-pound belts. One is the 155-pound WFO world title, and the other one is Cage Rivalry world title, which is also sanctioned by the WFO. So this
okay.
will be number three going for.
Okay. Now tell me, the defense of these titles, do you have to defend them within a certain time? I mean, because if you win tomorrow, being holding three titles, is it difficult to juggle the different organizations, or is that not as difficult as it sounds?
Well, I'm usually ahead of the curve. What my main goal is here in Florida before I eventually go pro is to be number one best pound-for-pound, 155-pound amateur MMA fighter in the state of Florida, possibly the U.S. And I know that all the organizations, they're pretty spread out, and they're not really under one rule. So hopefully if I snag all these belts, that'll get the incentive, you know, to unify all the belts and just make one overall belt instead of having everyone running around town saying this one's a champ, that one's a champ, and this one's a champ, you know, and the commission run the show, you know, everything under one rule. So that's my main goal to accomplish.
That's right, man. They only have to knock on one door to come get a belt, right? And they don't have to run around town.
Exactly.
Michael, listen, man, before we let you go, tell our listeners where they can find you, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, whatever you got going on, whatever. Let them know where they can find you, any spot, sponsors that you might want to thank. How can we get a hold of you?
Yeah, most definitely. We have a D'Angelo Facebook. It's D'Angelo Martial Arts at Facebook.com, and you can find everything and anything on there. I also have a Instagram account. It's at Primetime. That's my name there. Not too many sponsors. Like I said, we just do our thing, run our schools. The fighting is a plus for us, man, and having the titles and the pleasure of having other promoters call me up and let me represent them as their champion is always a plus for me.
Fair enough. Michael, best of luck to you tomorrow night. After you win, we'll get you back on the show, and you can talk to us about it. And then you're probably going to end up seeing me. I'd like to get together with you and your father and see if we can't push some local MMA around the state of Florida here.
Oh, most definitely, man. I really appreciate you guys giving me the call and having me on your guys' show, man. Much respect.
All right, Michael. Take care.
Man. Take it easy, Michael. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right, guys. You guys have a good night.
You too, buddy. Man, he sounds all business. I would not want to be in the cage with that gentleman tomorrow night. He sounds like he is just, those are some political answers. I don't know if that's the company line. That's what they just tell. But he
sounds like
definitely
a professional, big time mixed martial arts fighter. He really sounds like somebody that could easily be sitting at a UFC press conference table one day, talking about some big time lightweight fight. You know, he definitely sounds like a top guy. He sounds like somebody who's going to be in a major MMA promotion one day, so.
He didn't miss a beat. It was very much, just all business and.
Well thought out and well constructed there. Very. I don't know much about him. Tonight's the first time I've met him, but I do know that he looked ready to go. I talked a little bit with his dad and his brother. He looks ready to go. I mean, it should be a great main event. We're actually going to try and get his opponent in here as well, Randy Hernandez, out of American Top Team Cape Coral. If we can't get in touch with him, we'll probably jump right in with Daniel Blevins from Gator MMA, but we do want to try and get both guys from the main event on here. Speaking of main events, the main event from Bellator actually just went live. I was looking it up. I was thinking, because I was talking about how I saw Rad Martinez on a ESPN special a few years back. It was actually an ESPN Outside the Lines where they did a special on how he takes care, he cares for his paraplegic father. And I remember thinking, an outstanding young man. You know, he's trying to balance a mixed martial arts career on top of taking care of family responsibilities and putting family first. I think that's an awesome thing. And I'm excited to see him having some success. He's on a 4-fight win streak here. So far, he's been top-notch since he's been in Bellator. I think there's some big things ahead for this guy. So hopefully watch him get a win tonight. That'd be pretty awesome. But, yeah, I mean, in the meantime, like I said, you know, I just want to say thanks to all the fighters who have been on with us tonight. You know, you guys are getting ready to go to war tomorrow. A lot on your mind, going through a lot and trying to get some rest and stay focused. So it should be a great night, man. I love being cage shy, man, getting to watch fights. You know, it's just it never gets old. Never gets old watching some MMA, especially when it's live. But we're having some trouble getting a hold of Rainy Hernandez, so we're going to jump right in here in the next minute or two with Daniel Blevins, the owner at Gator MMA, and guy who's done a lot of work around the clock for the last month or two getting this fight card ready. So, guy I have a lot of respect for, a guy that I look up to. You know, I searched out gyms in the area and chose really wanted to get involved with what he's doing out there at Gator. They got some big things happening with Gator here very shortly, so we'll talk with him a little bit. Talk with him mostly about the fight card tomorrow, but I think we got him ready to go. Daniel, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm doing absolutely terrific now. A little nervous at the beginning of the day, but I'm feeling a lot better. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, man. You know, I thought the weigh-ins went really well. Most of the guys got weigh-ins. There's some slight changes to the fight card, as you're going to see. It's almost impossible for a fight card not to have some last-minute changes when it comes to amateur MMA. So I felt like most everything went good, and I know that it's a big day tomorrow for Gator MMA, for the work that you and Chris DeMarty have been doing behind the scenes, and for a lot of local fighters. I know it's a big day tomorrow, so...
huge. Huge,
yeah.
Is an understatement. out of the entire fight card, I think we had two changes. Three changes. Two changes and an additional fight. So it absolutely worked out beautifully. We had guys on the fight card as far as alternates, just in case. And I tell you what, it couldn't have worked out any better. It really couldn't have. I regret that we couldn't get Alex Julian in. He's one of our guys. He's a local guy. He's worked his butt off and earned the right to fight, but it didn't work out. Man, I really wanted to get that fight in. I really did. He's one of those kids that he came in and he just showed so much improvement over the last year, and you really, really wanted to see that. You know, that out in the cage, and it just didn't happen this time, but we'll get him in there next time.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey Daniel, just real quick, you said better now when Matt asked how you were doing. Are the weigh-ins the most stressful? Like, is today the day, and then like tomorrow you just kind of sit back and reap the benefits of your hard work, or do you worry straight up the last fight is over?
You know what it is? And this is just my perspective. I don't know if the other promoters have the same perspective. But the weigh-ins, that is your product. That is what you're putting out there for all to see. Everything you've promoted, everything you've done, that is your product. And if your product doesn't show up, if your guys don't show up, it can be very nerve-wracking. I mean, you can't recover from it. And to have – oh, my God. I mean, we have 15 fights. We started the day with 14. So we started the day with 14, ended up with 15 fights. I couldn't have been more pleased. I don't think we have one bout on our sheet that has more than two fights in between them that are offset. And I think we only have one that actually has more than two fights in between an opponent, and it's exactly two. So it's nerve-wracking. I will never, and I was joking with Ralph this the other night, I will never give a promoter a hard time again. I think every coach should go through this at some point.
What's the most frustrating thing for you as a promoter? Is it fighters not making weight, their paperwork not in on time, you know, the prima donna stuff? What's the worst for you?
I don't know if you really can pinpoint what is the worst. There's frustrating things. You know, you'll get somebody to commit. I think I had I would say the most frustrating moment of this ordeal was when Dean's opponent backed out. Now you have two fighters, even records, And he backed out, and he backed out with just about every excuse possible. And I would rather just have a fighter say, hey, you know, this isn't a good time, or I got a bad feeling about this, or, you know, whatever it may be. I would rather just be up front and say, can't do it, you know. But to come in, was it 3 days before, an event and back out, and you're a title fight? Oh, my gosh. But I tell you this, you know, his replacement is a step up in every direction. I mean, how can you go wrong? We have Coconut Creek in the house. We have American Top Team Coconut Creek as the step up. You know, how do you go wrong with that?
Yeah, I don't think you can.
I mean, Dan is definitely a step up in opponent. So I think it's going to be an amazing, amazing fight.
Now, putting that aside, as far as the promotion aspect, all the work you've done trying to put fights together, how are you feeling going in tomorrow as the coach of about six guys that are stepping in the cage?
Oh, nervous. I, what people don't understand as a coach, I mean, you have some coaches and they treat it like a business. You know firsthand our gym is entirely different. These are our – and there's a lot of gyms out there that they are your friends or your comrades, but, man, this is my family. These guys are my family. Otis, all these guys, Zeke, Curtis, Dean, you know, these guys are my family. And to have them go out on the cage, it would be like putting Ethan out there in the cage. It really is. It's that feeling. You know, you're with these guys every day. So I'm not nervous. Oh, I mean, I'm nervous, but I'm proud. You know what I mean? I'm nervous for them because I know what it feels like to walk out to the cage, but I'm proud that, you know, they do it. And they're going out there and they're putting all their training out on the line. So it's just a proud moment. It really, really is. It's a great moment.
Yeah. Now we've talked about this and agreed on it. The most anticipated debut of this year being Otis. How are you feeling on the excited side of things? How are you feeling that he stepped up? Nobody was expecting him to fight. You know, you weren't back there going, Otis, you need to fight. I mean, he made this decision what, like 11 days ago, less than 2 weeks ago, that he was going to fight tonight. So I mean,
yep.
If I'm not mistaken, you know, I wish I could say that I had been with Gator since the beginning, but I love the fact that I've met you guys and come in there, and I know that Otis was one of the originals, one of the first guys you had in the gym, and I mean, that's got to be beyond exciting that he's decided this is his time. It's time for him to step in the cage. I mean, how are you feeling about that?
Oh, I feel great. Oh my gosh, you know, Hunter Jr. and Otis, or Krista's mom, or Junior, Krista is Junior's mom. Those three came all within the same week. So, you know, maybe a week and a half. Not much time separates the first three students, and they're all there still. Otis, you know, he's one of the originals. And you can't put words to it. You really can't. I mean, I've watched a guy who's just come in, and he was really quiet and in the corner. And, you know, this is one of my brothers here. And you know, he's probably one of the most capable fighters that we have. And I really think, you know, he broke his arm not too long ago, so he's been recovering from that. And I think maybe it put a little bit of ding in his confidence. But, you know, he's confident now. He's really, really shining. And I think once he gets into that cage, everything that he's trained for, it'll come out to light. It'll be there for him. So not many people work harder than him. You know, the most unselfish person we have in the gym is Otis. So he comes in and works with Jeremy at 10 o'clock at night till 2 and 3 in the morning, you know, just to get Jeremy ready for a fight. So he's unselfish. He's one of those guys you want in your corner. Most anticipated fight by all means. As far as for my guys.
Promoting not your, I understand that the gym is your number one priority, I'm assuming, but is promoting not your, not up there? I mean, do you not always promote fights?
Am I missing something?
I don't always promote fights.
Okay. Let me tell you, this has been a first for me. You know, I think we've done a great job with it. We got American Battle Championships backing us on this as a promotion. You know, me and Chris have really, really put in a lot of legwork on the, you know, the bulk of the card and the fight and everything. And it's not a first. I mean, it's a first for us, but it's not a first choice of careers. I wouldn't recommend being a promoter to too many people.
I was just going to ask, should we be looking for a Gator MMA promotion soon or no?
You know what? Don't count that out. You never know. I mean, you never know what the future will bring. You know, at this point, we just want to get through this one.
I can sense your nervous excitement, or maybe it's because your fighters, you're excited about your fighters and, you know, going to sit back and kind of reap the benefits of your labors here and stuff. So I can sense like you're a ball of emotions right now, but it's kind of cool to listen to, you know, you're kind of being pulled in a bunch of different directions. You want these guys to do really well, but then, you know.
Well, I can't stop talking.
Yeah, no, it's great to see. It really is.
Oh, yeah, it's a bottle of emotions. I mean, you know, friends are out there fighting. You're trying to put on a promotion. You know, it's bottled up, everything about it. But I tell you this, there's not a fair fight card out there, I promise you. You know, if you look at the fight card and the matchups, there's no uneven fights or bouts or anything like that. I think we did the best to test, you know, our guys as a team, but at the same time put on best promotion possible. There's no uneven fights, and I think I'm the most proud of that.
Sure.
You know, it's difficult. It's a difficult thing to do.
Was that the most difficult thing you think to do would be, maybe not to get the sponsors or whatever, but to ensure that the fights were fair and that you were booking the fights properly and not just kind of leaning? I mean, you know, let's not kid ourselves. You have a vested interest in this with your guys, people you train, and obviously you don't want to see your guys lose. To save the integrity of the event, you kind of want to be fair.
I think if people know me, the saving the integrity of the event wasn't the hard part. The hard part is making sure that the perception is never given. You know, for me, I will put the most even people out there. Period.
Sure.
I won't favor one thing or the other. One of the first rules I did when I took on this promotional thing was to actually step back from the gym. Matthew was part of the meeting we had. I pulled myself away from any decision-making with the guys, and I said, I will not tell you whether you should fight or shouldn't fight. I will present you with guys, and as a gym, you know, like any other gym, it is up to you to decide. Do you want the fight or do you not want the fight? You know, I will not give you any advice in it. And I pulled everybody, all the members in the gym, into a group meeting, and that's what we talked about. I didn't want them to ever see me do that for them because they work too hard to have that handed to them, you know, and none of them would want to be cheapened that way. None of them. And they would never let me do it. And I would never want to do it. So it wasn't hard to keep the integrity of the card in place. Just making sure that people never looked at it that way. You're always going to have that in the back of your mind. But at the same time, when you look at this card, I think the most uneven matchup is Curtis Burt versus somebody else. You know, I don't even have the name at the top of my head.
Sure,
but Curtis Vert is actually 1-1, and the guy he's fighting is 2-2, and that's the most uneven matchup that we have. So, you know, Paul Walters, and Paul Walters is in the favor of that. You know, it's not even on our guy. So, you know, I think once people come out there and see it, they're going to see a great time. They really are.
I just want to clarify. I never was. Please don't be offended that I was thinking that you were.
Oh, no, never.
It's
an honest question. I will answer you honestly. You asked an honest question, and it's a question that a lot of people will probably have on their mind. And And, you know, it gives me a chance to air it out so before it ever comes out.
I didn't want you to think I was questioning your integrity. I would never do that. I was just saying that, you know, you want to do the right thing. So that's all.
You are doing your job, and you're doing it well. I never saw that.
Fair enough. I appreciate that. But no, Matt, you know, Matt speaks very highly of you guys up at Gator MMA. You know, that, you know, I pick on him because, you know, I feel like I know you guys already, and I've never even met you because, he speaks very, very highly of you guys, and I promised him that I'm going to get up there to see one of your events, and unfortunately, I can't be up there this one. To be honest, I would have loved to, but I'm working tomorrow, unfortunately, and it stinks. But,
well, we'd love to get you just up there for a practice.
I
hang out with us on a personal level.
Well, yeah,
let him roll with Ethan.
Yeah, my son, who is 6 years old, I really want to get him into some mixed martial arts. So I think that might be a way to kind of ease him into the gym. So, you know,
you got to look. Ethan is one of the coaches. You know, people laugh when I say that, and they can take my gym seriously or not because there's a 7-year-old coach. He's got 4,000 hours of training time in MMA. 4,000 hours. You can be a Taekwondo instructor in about 300. So,
yeah.
You know, he is one of our coaches. He's very, very technical, and he works with a lot of the kids when they come in. He even works with the adults. It's one of those things. But when you bring your 6-year-old in, Ethan is the kindest partner you can run into. He's nice, even. He wouldn't hurt nobody. He's just a really, really good kid in that regard.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I definitely want to get my son in, and you know he's got this energy that's all over the place, and he watches fights with me all the time, so I think he would enjoy it. But you know, I don't want to have him commit to something that just isn't going to be for him, and that might be the best way to do it. It's kind of easing him in to a 7-year-old coach and whatnot.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, and you have to tell Ethan to dial it down when you ease him in.
for my son and myself, no. Which one are you telling
him? You have to tell him to dial it down for the late entry program Marines that come in. So you know the future Marines that come in, you got to tell him to dial it down. So he's like that.
That's awesome.
Well, I wanted to say really quick, I know, Matthew, you were at the weigh-ins. What did you think about the stare-down main event?
I thought it was good, man. I thought it was very good. We just actually just got off the phone with Michael D'Angelo just before we talked with you. And, I mean, he's focused. He's ready to go. We couldn't get him to give us what he really felt. He was, you know, like Jason was saying, he was very politically correct on all of his answers.
I know
he's spoken. We weren't able to get a hold of Randy Hernandez, but the stare down was pretty intense.
I thought it was going down in the restaurant. I mean, you know, after the first cut, you always give that, you know, 5 or 10 seconds for the photo op, and you know, and everybody's usually cool. Those cats stayed in it for like 30 seconds, staring each other down, didn't flinch a bit. Oh, my gosh, talk about excitement. One thing, I hope when this all ends, I hope the respect for these guys grows and these guys, you know, in the gyms, because they're rival gyms. There's a lot of bad blood between them, but at the same time, I hope they can air it out in the cage and let it be, you know, and let it end there, you know. And these are two very, very good gyms. You can't ask for any more from the gyms, and you really hope that this will kind of put a little bit of peace to that. But as a promoter, oh, my gosh, this is a dream fight. I mean, it really is, you know?
Now, do you know, we tried to ask Michael, and like I said, we weren't getting anything out of him. He was focused. He wasn't giving any inch. He doesn't want to give any feel to his opponent. But, I mean, there's bad blood between these gyms, and do you know any of the backstory as to why that is?
You know what? I have heard both sides of the story, and – you know, as an individual, you never want to get into it, and even as a promoter, you don't want to get into it because, you know, each side of the story is attacking one gym or the other, and that's the last thing I want to do, especially not being there. I have the most respect for both of these guys. You know, chatted with Willie on the phone many times. Mr. D'Angelo, you know, just a great father for his kids, and you know, so active and everything, and you hear nothing but good things. So you would hate to kind of bring that story out and let people judge based on, you know, that third party explanation when you just don't know. You know, it's a tough one to get into.
Damn it! You know, I'm not gonna lie to you. This is I'm more interested in this conspiracy theory than I am the JFK assassinations, because I can't get any information from anybody. Damn it! I thought I had it. I was on like the edge of my seat. Damn it!
The story was out there for a bit. It was you gotta follow the website or the Facebook post and everything else, because it was out there. So
no, I respect that. I respect that. I just wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask the story. So, no.
Oh, I know it. And it's just something you can't really bring up too much, because not being there, it's kind of hard to do.
Absolutely.
So. You got two highly respected programs and great followings, and we don't want to ever taint the name, you know, based on, you know, one view or the other. So,
for sure.
But gosh, I can't wait for tomorrow. I really can't. Really
it's
can't.
It's gonna come really early too.
It is. It is.
Bright and early tomorrow morning, moving the cage over.
8 a.m. 8 a.m. I wanted to give a shout out to WCSL. Dwayne Spires, Ralph Garcia, these guys are, you know, we're cross promoting with them. They got a March 30th card coming up. We don't want to forget about that. Big implications on this 155 fight. I have to mention it. Whoever wins this Hernandez D'Angelo fight for the title for ABC, American Battle Championships, actually gets put in the slot to go out to fight WCSL. So, you know, we can't sleep on that.
Taylor.
And he's a beast. You have three studs right now, and you have one person vying for the top spot. How do you go wrong in that? It can't wait. Can't wait for it to happen. It's exciting. I mean, one fight, two title implications. You can't go wrong. Can't go wrong at all.
Absolutely not.
So, all
right, man. Well, we're. I'm excited. I'm excited, man. I can't wait. You know, I'll be looking forward to these fights going down. Looking forward to the start time. Looking to get kicking off about 7 p.m. tomorrow. And like you said, 15 stack fights. We will have Dwayne Spires from the WCFL doing the ring announcing for us tomorrow night. And
a big show like this, you can't not try to bring the biggest voice in Florida MMA. You know, how can you not go after him? And he's been gracious enough to help us with this. So, Dwayne Spires, if you're listening, I appreciate it. I thank you, WCFL. We have nothing but the highest respect for you guys, the highest regard. You guys set the standard, and we're glad to have you as a part of our event. You and Ralph, you guys have really, really set the way, and we're proud to have you guys helping us out with this. Can I plug one more person in there, or one more group in there real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Battle Championships, Sky, Aaron Rajman. You know, these guys came all the way up here. This is their promotional card. You gotta give it to them. They're trying to do big things in Florida amateur MMA, and look for bright futures with this. So it's going to be a great year. A great year for Florida MMA. I mean, it really is. It's going to be fun.
Michael, well, we wish you the best of luck, my friend. I mean, you know, congratulations on getting it all pulled together, and we wish you the best of luck. We'll have you on again to tell us how it went, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Mom, I love you. Tell Jerry we hope he feels better after everything with his foot. And guys, take care. Thank you for doing what you do. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Well, we'll see you, Matthew, tomorrow. Appreciate
right,
it, Sam.
Right
get out there. Take care.
All right, man. Have a good night, Daniel.
Can I call him Michael?
All right, man.
I think I called him Michael.
I think you did say Michael.
Oh, please apologize to him for me. I called him Michael because I was looking at his paper.
Yeah,
it says Michael. So,
yeah.
Matt,
well,
great week. Great night, man.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to quickly run out of time. I want to make sure to give a shout-out to our sponsors before we do. Brawlbase.com, CrossRoaderClothing.com, GameChangerNow.com, GatorMMA.com and FutureFighters.com. Thank you for all that you're doing. Jason, thank you for another great episode. Thank you for all the fighters that took some time and talked with us tonight. And then thank you to Daniel Blevins for talking with us. He's always got a lot to say, always a hype man, and just love being associated with the guy. And thank you all for listening in. Thank you, MMAMadhouse.com, and we will be back next Thursday.
Matt, please, please, please tell Daniel I apologize. I know his name is Daniel.
Absolutely will.
All right, bud, I'll
absolutely
talk to you next
weekend.
Great show, bud.
All right, man. Take it easy.